This podcast episode is powered by AfriPods, the world's number one podcasting platform for African stories.
Let's say you're now paying a rent of 50,000 or 60,000 and you're probably in your second or third job. Then the discussion starts having, you start having discussions with yourself in terms of, okay, if I look at retirement, maybe I'm 30 years old. I have an additional active 30 years to build wealth. If you leave it out in the near future and say, okay, let me wait until retirement, and then the proceeds that I'm going to get from my pension, I build, we've seen that almost going the wrong way for majority of people, simply because...
Do we have many alternatives, or does mortgage represent the best way into home ownership from where you sit?
The best thing that is currently available in the market are the...
Hi, and welcome to another episode of Make Money, the podcast. We've realized we've talked about quite some various asset classes throughout the season, but we haven't really talked around home and property ownership. Now, unlike most of the other conversations we've had here, the entry hurdle for most of the other classes have been easy. 5,000 shillings, 50,000 shillings, 100,000 shillings. But moving on to property, we do understand we have quite the high hurdle rate of entry, with property prices being quite high. And today, we wanted to have a discussion around hacking home ownership. And I'm happy to have the co-founder and chief operating officer for Rentsco Africa. So, Ms. Christabel, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you for having me.
Yes. And I really wanted to get the data out of the way in terms of what we are looking at here. So, your average mortgage last year was around 9.4 million shillings. We had an interest rate of around 14.3%. And we still don't have quite the high number of mortgage accounts. We are still hovering around 30,000 shillings.
Yeah.
And it's interesting, you know, just before we had this conversation, I had an opportunity to go through the House Consult Index that gives us an indication of where properties are sitting. And, you know, there are those expensive neighborhoods that I might skip, the Upper Hills, the Westlands, the Parklands. But even if you move down the scale around the Nairobi metropolitan area, you still find, you know, an acre in Kiserian is still costing you over 11 million shillings. Your average property is costing around 13.1 million shillings. So these are very high entry hurdles for people. And now turning into the conversation is where I bring you in. In effect, is at Rentsco, what you're trying to do is you try to get people into home ownership by matching what they pay for rent in terms of a mortgage payment. And someone earning a conservative or a modest income per month. And I use the KNBS average earnings for the modern sector, around 72,000 shillings a month. Can they still dream of home ownership? You know, for many people, home ownership still remains very aspirational. And I like the YouTube pages that we do see, high-end houses running in the millions of shillings. But a lot of it is good to see, good to know, no intention of buying, but it's just good to see what's there. Can home ownership become a reality for people, even with modest earnings, or will it still remain aspirational? What would be your take around the same?
Well, I'll say yes, simply because... So, if you look at what we do, we are champions of educating the market in terms of how they can get started in their home ownership journey. So I believe the average, in accordance with Kenya National Bureau of Statistics, would be the average income would be about 72,000.
Yeah.
So for somebody who's earning that, working with an example, if let's say, for example, that's your net income, then on our platform, we do have an affordability calculator that you can use. So if you key in that 72, you'd be able to see how much you can access. And thereafter, you'll be able to see also the monthly repayments that will be able to, you know, you'd be able to fall within your affordability range, as well as now shortlisted properties that would match. So, for example, somebody with a net income of 72, on average, they'd be able to access about 3 million Kenya shillings, if you had to just put it into context. And then you'd be looking at repayments of about 28,000 per month.
Yeah.
Now, using that as an example, that can get you a two-bedroom in Kitengela that's going for about 3.6 million. Or you can relatively get a one-bedroom somewhere like in Ruta going for anywhere about 4 million, 4.4 million.
Yeah.
Yes.
So we do know that the government has been targeting to bring down, the entry level for home ownership. And there's been a target of even having a mortgage repayment of as low as 10,000. We are yet to get there, but ideally, do you feel such initiatives then will help people actually move into home ownership where you can effectively match your rent to your mortgage payment? In like, you can look at them as like for likes. You know, you can choose to keep renting in a sense, or now move into home ownership where your monthly payment will just be equivalent to your rent. Are we getting there in terms of driving down those costs? I think I mentioned quite the high sums here in terms of the home ownership prices, you know, property, land, and the likes. Are we getting there in terms of bringing down? Will it get to a point where perhaps even someone who's, you know, rent is perhaps 20,000, 25,000, they'll be able to have access to a home by equating their rental income per month to be their mortgage payment.
Okay. So if you look at the property sector, and especially if you focus on the affordable housing part, so different, there's different clusters. So working with one example, the first one would be social housing. So social housing, you're looking at somebody who earns, let's say, under 20,000. And then the next one would be now low income. So whereby you're looking at on average anywhere between 20 to, let's say, 50,000. They're about 50 to 80,000. Then there is now what you call the mortgage affordability gap, which now goes all the way up to 200. It used to be 150, but now it's up to 200,000.
Yeah.
So there are different solutions for different demographics. Simply because, obviously, if you can't provide one solution for somebody who's, let's say, for example, earning 150,000 to somebody who's earning 20,000. Now, on the premise of what we do, primarily we focus on the mortgage affordability gap. So these are now individuals anywhere earning an average of about 200,000. So those are the ones where the platform is able to now matchmake them with affordable properties as well as affordable home loans, and then they're able to now see how it is that they can get started in terms of transitioning from renting to owning.
Yeah.
On the other side of low income and social housing, I'm sure you've heard of the housing levy also has a role to play in that.
Yeah.
Because the premise of it is they pull funds together, the government pulls funds together, and then they are able to now develop and offer this affordable properties in the market. So, for example, I believe I saw something yesterday regarding Mukuru Kwajenga, one of the developments.
Yeah.
And the idea behind it is for individuals. So there's going to be a whole vetting process, and anyone who's able to now access this particular, let's say if it's a one bedroom or a studio, because I saw like a single room would go for about 10,000. Then the idea is that 10,000, you should pay that 10,000 for about 25 to 30 years.
Yeah.
So then you get to decide, because a 10,000 can get you, let's say, for example, that one room house in Mukuru. But then maybe if you move slightly farther out of town,
yeah,
then you're able to get like a one bedroom. Of course, it will have to be really farther out of town.
Yeah.
But then you're also able to get a one bedroom for that price point.
Mm-hmm.
And I also believe the premise behind it is for somebody who would rather now, say, for example, get that one bedroom in Mukuru. This would be somebody who's coming from a rural area. They've come into the city. You know, they've just gotten their first job. They're working within the Jua Kali sector.
Yeah.
So it does make sense for them to reside there and be able to commute very easily to work, even if it's on foot.
Yeah.
And then if they build up, continue paying that 10,000, then eventually at some point, their children are going to own that property.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Maybe for someone here, this might call for you to do some convincing here.
Mm-hmm.
But people who've quite seen home ownership as quite the undertaking and have left it, you know, I'm willing to rent up to the time I can retire. And then once I'm there, then with whatever I get of my retirement earnings and whatever the investments, I'll be able to decide whether I'll buy a home, I'll buy a property, I'll buy some land parcel somewhere and build.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of debates that we've seen around, should I rent, should I buy a home? And you know, a lot of it has to do with income levels, the price points of these properties. Where do you sit in terms of settling this dilemma? Renting versus buying with respect to prices. When should I opt for maybe the affordable mortgages or an option for me, or let me rather sit out of the home ownership. Let me invest in other areas. Then I'll come back to home ownership much later. Mm-hmm. How do you assess this to be?
Okay. So there's a process to it. And for most of us, when you're starting out, so you're just done with university and you've gotten your first job, then most people would obviously opt to rent simply because, I mean, you don't even have any form of income. At that point, it's probably that first salary that you're going to get. And then now you start building sort of like a savings culture. So initially, the ideal way is to rent, right?
Yeah.
Then as you continue and as you progress in your career, it gets to a point where, also depending on your income, then you need to start having certain conversations, especially around like financial literacy, because the reality of it is based on the incentive that is currently available. Imagine accessing a facility at a fixed interest rate of 9.5%.
Yeah,
that's the best actually in Africa, outside South Africa, as far as championing home ownership is concerned.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't get any lower than that for the, you know, common Kenyan citizen. So in that case, then let's say you're now paying a rent of 50,000 or 60,000 and you're probably in your second or third job, then the discussion starts having, you start having discussions with yourself in terms of, okay, if I look at retirement, maybe I'm 30 years old, I have an additional active 30 years, you know, to build wealth.
Yeah.
And just thereafter post-retirement become, you know, live a comfortable life. So if you leave it out to the, you know, further to the near future and say, okay, let me wait until retirement, and then the proceeds that I'm going to get from my pension, I build. We've seen that almost going the wrong way for majority of people,
mm-hmm.
simply because then it means if you, let's say, for example, from your pension, you get 6 million or 8 million or 10 million,
yeah.
then you're going to take all that and put it in an asset. And you're no longer active. So you're also not able to generate a source of income.
Yeah.
And what that means is that you now have to start relying on your, you know, children to be able to bail you out.
Yeah.
So the sooner you consume this information and you actually derive ways of getting started, then the better for you. Because what it means is if you have the capability, if you don't transition, yes, you'll continue paying rent. But then for how long?
Yeah.
Right? At some point, you know, you start, it's okay initially in the beginning. But then after a 10, 15-year period, if you had transitioned earlier, it means by then you'd have probably completed, you know, paying for that particular facility. Mm-hmm. So on my end, my point of view would be once you consume the information, then figure out how you can actually get started. We recognize the biggest hurdle for most people is that 20% down payment
yeah.
that they're required to, you know, put down to secure a unit. But then There are ways you can work towards that. So you can commit and say, okay, fine, I have 1 year or 2 years and I need to have X amount as far as deposit is concerned. So what am I going to do about it in terms of, do I now become very aggressive in terms of saving? Does it mean I have to just sort of adjust my lifestyle a bit so that I have some, you know, additional disposable income towards that? And even as you continue doing that, you can yeah. take advantage of instruments such as money market funds, where even as you save, then there's also a component of interest. So your money is not just sitting and lying, you know, lying idle. So those are some of the ways in which somebody can actually get started.
All right. So there are around, I'm guessing, three ways to owning a property or owning a home.
Yeah.
And one of them is if you are lucky enough to pay out of pocket and you have the cash for it, you can effectively own a property or a home.
Yeah.
Secondly is the mortgages route, which is what I think we've dwelled around, you know, the cost of it, the down payment required, you know, the average mortgage, the interest rates, there's a lot of interplay between that.
Yeah.
Then that day, and I think some of our parents did this, is, you know, the slow but steady steps, find a parcel, far-flung area where, you know, the valuations are not so high, build it over time. I've seen people even do a one-story house and you know, you complete the lower floor, move in as you complete the top floor. Perhaps, if we are to think of home ownership outside mortgages, do we have many alternatives, or does mortgage represent the best way into home ownership from where you sit? How many other ways might we have to get into home ownership without necessarily, you know, taking the pain of, you know, the monthly payments, the hovering interest rates if you are not lucky to get the fixed facility you talked about?
So what you've talked about is what you call incremental building. So let's say, for example, if you have a parcel of land, either you bought it a while back or it was passed down to you, you know, by your parents, then we've seen, and I mean, in some instances it's worked, you know. So you put the foundation, then you put the walls, then you get a bit of money, and the reality of it is most people build like that. However, there are usually some gaps here and there because not everyone would want to involve themselves around that process of building.
Yeah.
Because it means you have to constantly, you know, go to site, check, and then you know how fundis are. Sometimes you find this material is stolen and this. So if you're to do the math, eventually you'll find like probably you end up spending, you know, so much more than you would if you had that amount upfront. Yeah,
including the time invested.
Including the time invested, yes. Yeah. So there's that route, and I know some people will still continue pursuing that route, and that's okay. However, on the other side, the best thing that is currently available in the market are the affordable home loans. Now, even if you want to build, even somebody who wants to build can still get to access them as long as it's their first home.
Yeah.
They can still get to access the facility and be able to now, you know, put a team of professionals and build faster. Let's say even if it's over a period of six months or, you know, 8 months or 12 months, and then they finish, right? So what they'll just have to be dealing with is the monthly repayment. Now, the reality of it is very few individuals have cash to pay upfront for a property.
Yeah.
And if you look at, let's say, a decent three-bedroom apartment would be, let's say in Syokima, would be about 8 million Kenya shillings.
Yeah.
And this is around, if you put it again into context, about 137 square meter. Now, so that's an apartment. And like I mentioned, most people don't have 8 million Kenya shillings just, you know,
just lying sitting around somewhere
and waiting. So if you have an opportunity to own this and let's say pay about 60,000 or 65,000 towards it pole over, you know, like a 15-year period, then it does make sense because it means what you need to have initially is about 1.6, again, working with that 20% deposit. You get to move in and then now you continue now paying that 60. The other thing we've seen is most people, again, Kenyans, you know, we are a unique set of people.
Mm-hmm.
So somebody will do the math and say, okay, fine, this 60 has a component of interest to it. Then they'll do the 60 multiplied by 12 months, and then they multiplied by 15 years. And they'll be like, by the end of it, I would have paid probably like, you know, 12 million Kenya shillings. Why is that so much? So how we usually answer to that is, if that's the case, then if you're living in this particular property, then you would still be paying that amount as rent, right? So then why not just put your rent into actually something that can eventually become yours and you get to own it?
Right. Right. So I think you had tackled the buying versus renting and the corner you'd sit at.
Mm.
Maybe in terms of income, do you wait to get to a certain point so that you make the steps towards, or do you start with where you are? You know, a lot of people might be, I'm netting the 72, like the example you used.
Mm.
Do you wait still and start netting 100, 150, 200? Is there quite the right moment to make those steps where now you can be like, okay, I won't rent forever in a sense. And like you said, I don't want to be using all my pension money just to acquire property. I might as well just do it well beforehand and live comfortably thereafter. So in terms of income levels and choosing to make the next steps towards home ownership, is there an entry level in a sense? Most people might not want to go into a studio or a bed sitter. You know, that might be what their income allows them to afford for this moment.
Mm-hmm.
But over time, maybe they won't. They'll be. I usually find the three bedroom to be always the average, the decent size where, you know, you have your master bedroom. You can have the other two rooms for children if you choose to have any. So do you wait until you achieve effectively a certain level of income to make the step, or can you start with where you are, as much as maybe your income for now will only allow you a one-bedroom property in a certain area?
Okay.
Yeah.
It does make sense to wait because, like we mentioned earlier, I acknowledge that when you get started, even myself, when you get started, you'll start by renting, right? Then depending on your dynamics, even as you progress during your career, so for example, if you're somebody who is earning relatively, let's talk about that 150 or even 200,000.
Yeah.
And now you are a single person, you don't have a family, because what we've also seen and how we have to acknowledge is that the dynamics of somebody who's single and the dynamics of somebody who has a family are two different things. So somebody who is single may be like, okay, fine. I may choose to, let's say, purchase a one bedroom or a two bedroom apartment. And then eventually when I get a partner, I can move out, you can move into a home and things like that.
Yeah.
Or somebody now who has a family and children, then for them, this is going to be their home for quite a substantial period of time, right? So for those two, if it's a family unit, then you can look at your combined household income because you can actually make an application as a household.
Yeah.
And if both incomes are combined and you see a scenario whereby, yes, there's a property that you can actually get started with, then at that point, yes, it would make sense for you to get started. If you are in a scenario whereby you've decided to, for example, prioritize investing in your children's education,
yeah.
So then it means you may choose to continue renting simply because maybe you don't have that deposit or maybe you don't want to move to a different neighborhood where a property would be a bit more affordable. So you can also choose to wait. And then eventually at a certain period of time, then you can transition. So it's also more of like an instinct thing.
Yeah.
Simply because like somebody who's consuming this information, something may tick and then be like, okay, maybe I can find out more. Or somebody else may be like, that's good information, but right now may not necessarily be the best time for me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So we have to acknowledge both sides.
All right. So as this goes, I would like us to talk about the Kenya Mortgage Refinancing Company. And like you mentioned, the advance they make to banks, you know, allow us as individuals to access mortgages at a fixed rate, mm-hmm. which is positive. We're in a market where we don't see a lot of fixed rate mortgage loans.
Yes.
So 9.5%, which is quite, you know, if you can repay that in 10 years, then you won't even be going twice over that limit.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of people, and okay, another thing to point out also is 9.5 is also single digit in a sense. And
yes.
In the era we are in, we've actually not seen single-digit interest rates on much anything.
Mm.
So going about accessing these opportunities, we do know that KMRC will make advances to the intermediary. Those are your banks and your SACCOs. And we have now the opportunity to get into home ownership using such facilities.
Yes.
So for KMRC, for someone wondering, I know you're from Rentsco, but I'm sure you do have some working relationship and do have an oversight of how KMRC works.
Mm-hmm.
For someone who wants this facility of 9.5%, where do you begin, in a sense? Do I walk into my bank and I want that KMRC loan?
I'm glad.
Hand it to me.
Yeah. I'm glad you've asked that because that's essentially now where we come in. So at Rentsco, we're helping now Kenyans transition from renting to becoming homeowners by converting their rent into equity through leveraging these affordable home loans. So on the backbone of it, we work with partner financiers. So we have a couple of banks who are members and shareholders in KMRC. So if you come on the platform, then you're able to, again, use the calculator, key in your income, and then you'll get matched with properties within your affordability range. Once you've seen something you like, you can even make an application through the platform and select which bank you're comfortable with. And that application goes directly to the selected bank. So we've simplified the process. You don't have to now start walking from bank to bank, identifying which one is good for me, which one am I going to be happy with. So we've literally simplified that process and it's we've made it easier for anyone to get started. Then if a customer has any questions, then what we're happy to, you know, have conversations with them to get to better understand what are you looking for, which bank would suit you best, simply because they all have different, the interest rate on average is 9.5%. However, it can be as low as 9% or as high as 9.9%.
Mm-hmm.
So again, because we work with all these partner financiers, so when we get to have a conversation with you, then we'd be able to tell you like, okay, based on the information you've given us, we recommend you proceed with this particular institution. And the beauty about it as well is, let's say, for example, you bank with Bank A, it does not mean that you can't make an application with Bank B, because
mm-hmm.
they'll accept statements and also your salary slip. They'll be able to just have all that information. And then you should be able to also access the facility from the other member bank.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. All right. So I think just to put it to a wrap, for someone listening in and wondering, should they be beginning making that step? Is there a right time to begin it, or should they just start at where they are? Take a view of where they want to be in, like you say, 20, 30 years from now.
Mm.
Should someone wanting to walk this journey, you know, again, noting from the start, as we mentioned, a home is mostly the highest you know, the biggest assets for most people. And in most countries, the home still remains, you know, your standard key asset to own.
True.
So is it time we forget about where we are and where we are and the much headroom we might have and start at where we are?
Yes. I'd say look ahead. Think ahead. Have, you know, big goals and vision for yourself. Even if you're not ready right now, still use the calculator to see, you know, which options are you getting matched with. And then you can start planning. Like I mentioned, it doesn't have to be you've consumed this information and you're starting tomorrow. But information is power. So once you're knowledgeable and you have the tools at hand, then it gets easier for you to transition from now renting to becoming a homeowner.
Yeah. So Ms. Christabel Ojor, CEO, co-founder, Rentsco Africa, we are happy to have you on the podcast for this week. And we appreciate the insights and hopefully someone has an understanding of where to start in terms of home ownership. Again, noting that we did note that it's quite the high entry hurdle and most people have tended to look at every other asset class but for home ownership. So we appreciate the insights.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. And looking forward to more interactions. Yes.
Thank you. And that has been another episode of Make Money the Podcast. Remember, you can catch us on nation.africa, businessdayafrica.com, and wherever else that you catch your podcast from. Thank you. Till next time. Goodbye.
Inaendeshwa na AfriPods.